It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Some can't, but a lot do. Manage to turn a profit, that is.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Sure, the American greenback is anemic, but we're getting a good lesson today in why that doesn't have to be bad news for American business. Turns out the resulting boost in buying power abroad is creating strong demand for what we've got to sell. Pfizer more than doubled its earnings in the second quarter of the year, thanks largely to rising sales of its pharmaceuticals overseas. McDonald's beefed up its quarterly profit, too, with strong business abroad. PepsiCo credits much of its higher profit to increased international demand for its drinks and snacks. And the weak dollar means Philip Morris has been shipping more Marlboros and other cigarettes overseas, helping to lift its profits. On the other hand, Wall Street can't ignore today's losers. Or can it? Profits are down at Boeing, Northwest Airlines, the New York Times, Costco warehouse stores, and at Whirlpool, the world's biggest appliance maker. That mixed news is getting mixed reviews as Wall Street opens for business. The Dow is down 40 points, a third of 1%. The Nasdaq is up a tiny fraction. The S&P 500 is virtually flat. But Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac shares are up sharply this morning on news the White House has agreed to a compromise with lawmakers on that big housing market rescue bill. It's aimed at helping millions of homeowners refinance at lower rates, and it provides a government backstop for the two companies that guarantee nearly half the nation's mortgages. Concern over Fannie and Freddie's health caused home loan rates to jump in recent days, and Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports there's no guarantee this action by Congress will help bring them back to earth.
From last Friday through yesterday, the interest rate on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages shot up nearly 0.4 of a point. For a $400,000 loan, the increase would add $71 to a monthly bill. It's all because investors fear Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac aren't as rock solid as was once believed. Economist Peter Morici at the University of Maryland says higher mortgage rates may be here to stay.
It would appear that for the next couple of years, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will be viewed as riskier investments than they once were, and that they will have to pay more for money and charge higher interest rates to prospective buyers.
The timing couldn't be worse for the faltering housing market. Home prices are already down about 18%, and rising mortgage rates will make it even more difficult to buy a home. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A lot of big money investors were caught by surprise earlier this year when the bottom dropped out of the market for something called auction rate securities. They complained that they were assured the investments were totally safe and as good as cash if they needed to get their money out quickly, only to learn the funds were suddenly frozen and unavailable. Now the Wall Street Journal reports New York's Attorney General is preparing to charge the big investment bank UBS with securities fraud. He's still looking into whether sales pitches used by other banks misled investors about the real risks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Clarks and Potter's The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
New York's transit agency is detailing its new budget today. It includes the second fare increase in 2 years for bus, rail, and subway rides. And the Big Apple isn't the only city facing these kinds of funding challenges. In New York, Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
New Yorkers have been commuting by subway for decades. But in other parts of the U.S., public transport is suddenly gaining new riders, keen to save money on gas. Bill Millar of the American Public Transportation Association says that's great.
But on the other hand, public transit systems are great users of energy, particularly diesel and gasoline.
So he says cities from Cleveland to San Diego are hiking fares, but that won't automatically plug budget deficits. Millar says transit systems rely on several sources of funding.
Certainly, I've been talking lately with communities that rely a lot on sales tax. And as the economy has grown worse, people are buying less, and they're seeing sales taxes go down.
He says to shore up their budgets, many transit systems are putting off improvements, and some are cutting back on service. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Have you got a summer vacation destination this year? It's going to be more expensive getting there by car or by air. And commentator Robert Reich says the only way many of us will be going anywhere at all is by luck.
If you're taking some time off this summer, you're in the minority. A conference board poll last April found fewer than 40% of Americans planning a summer vacation. Of course, for most of us, there's not much summer vacation to begin with. The average American employee gets a total of 14 days off each year. If you want to take a few of them around Thanksgiving, between Christmas and New Year's, and maybe when the kids are home on spring break, summer vacation is already practically gone. Those 14 days, by the way, are the fewest vacation days in any advanced economy. The average French worker gets 37 days off annually. In Britain, it's 26. And even when we take those 14 days, we don't always get paid for them. The Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us one out of four workers gets no paid vacation days at all. Every other advanced nation, and even lots of developing nations, mandate them. On top of all this comes the current economic squeeze. That figure of 40% of Americans planning a summer vacation is the lowest in 30 years. Not incidentally, consumer confidence in the economy is the lowest it's been in 28 years. In other words, there's a correlation between the small number of Americans taking a vacation this summer and this very bad economy. It's not that we're too busy to vacation. Just the opposite. There's not enough work to go around, which means we don't dare leave work, lest we lose a customer who might just happen to want us when we're gone, or we could even lose the job, because employees on vacation might seem expendable to an employer looking for a way to cut costs. Despite all this, Americans need a summer vacation, and any political candidate who aims to win votes this November would be wise to promise them one.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. By the way, he taped this segment because, he's on vacation this week. We're always appreciative when you take a little time out to share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us a part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.